Hey, greetings everybody. This is Brother Tupos and I'm sitting here by...
Me,
Sister Amen.
Right.
How are you doing, Sister Amen?
I'm doing good and I hope everybody else out there is.
Yeah, we hope your joyeth runneth overeth, as they say in King James.
Yeah, overfloweth.
Thence. Hope your joyous runneth over thence.
You know what? I got to tell you, sometimes it's really hard to read all those EF and stuff.
They can, you can trip over your tongue.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, we're back at you again today. We traveled down the road. We went north. We've been going north. And we got to our town where our preach is going to be. So we had good, safe travels on a rather hot day. It was only like 85 today, but it was like really, really hot. But it felt good to be driving down the van, getting some air blowing on us, and right. So typical August day, I guess.
But it was really pretty with the sun shining.
It was.
And all the flowers. It was like a carpet of flowers almost all the way up.
We drove kind of along a nice country road, two lane, but it was nice. And yeah, carpets of flowers, and we saw lakes. We didn't make a travel video because we made one yesterday, and we had to travel across the big bridge again. Sister Amen loves big bridges, going across big bridges. She's gotten a lot better at them.
Well, I wouldn't say
she didn't
I
cry once
them.
This whole time.
No, I didn't cry.
No.
Hey, you know what? I think it's been a couple years.
Yeah, you haven't. You
no,
haven't
I
had.
Haven't
no,
yet.
Usually she doesn't cry, but her stomach would get all knotted up. But she does good at them now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know what? The Lord is in control.
Yeah. Amen.
It's still not a nice bridge, though. I don't
amen.
Like it.
Yeah.
But oh well.
So we have some things we want to share with you today, Sister Amen. Uh-huh. You get to go first. What is on your heart and your mind that you'd like to share with the brothers and sisters that listen to our edification audio?
Well, you know what? I was just reading through this, and I thought I would just let it say what it says.
Say what it says.
Yep. Revelation 21, verses 18 to 23. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass, and the foundations of the wall were of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third, I should have probably pronounced this ahead of time, chalcedony.
Yeah.
The fourth, an emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sardius, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, a topaz, the tenth, a chrysophorus, the 11th, a jacinth, the 12th, an amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold as if it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof.
I love that. I think the Lord uses all those stones and such because he wants to give us an imagery of something that's so...
precious.
Worth and precious and glorious and rare and just gives man all of those visuals. Wow, amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. I thought that was a nice one.
Yeah, that is awesome. Good scripture verse. We were traveling today and I thought this was kind of interesting. I saw some faulty buildings and we saw an actual crane or what do you call it?
Like a backhoe?
Backhoe. I don't know what you call it. A digger. It was taken down a building.
Yeah.
And so then me and a brother were talking about firm foundations. We started talking about that. And I wanted to read Ephesians 2:20. And ye are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So foundations, really important. And it got us to thinking, him and I were talking about it, How few people we know, even professed Christians, that really take the time to build their foundation on the truth of God. We'll talk about truth a little bit later. And they don't even get themselves a solid foundation. And they move on and they start building walls and a roof. And it ultimately is set to collapse. And that's really like the churchianity systems. They're not built on Christ, the cornerstone, and the doctrines of and apostles of the prophets and the disciples, and it's all going to come crumbling down one day. And so we always, our ministry is a lot about teaching it, and we do it in the street, preaching to people about test your foundation. Is your foundation solid? Is the gospel you believe the biblical gospel? Do you have eternal life? Is Christ and all of his doctrines what you're seeking? And then from there, you can brick by brick and wall by wall, you can build yourself a firm house of God. We are the house of God, but we build ourselves in that faith. Too many people, they just don't want to be considerate of a solid foundation. They don't take it for granted. Would you think that's true, Sister Amen?
Yeah, absolutely. We see that all over.
Yeah. I built some cabins one time, and they were just some small off-grid cabins, and one corner of the foundation wasn't right. Started tipping. And I had to go back and jack it up and fix it, and I moved a little too quick when I built it, and I should have did the foundation a little better. I had to go back and repair it. So that's what we're asking people in the church systems to do. You didn't get your foundation right, the gospel, the doctrines of Christ, the truth. You got to go back and repair it. You got to get it right. Otherwise, Jesus talked about, you build it on sand, when the storms come, mm-hmm. you're going to be washed away. Build on the rock, which is Him, His word and His truth, and when the storms come, your house will stand. So that's
Amen.
A glorious,
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a glorious thing to think about. Building on firm foundations, not man-made traditions. Another topic that came up recently, being angry with a brother. And I wanted to talk about this. Matthew 5:22. Jesus said, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." I thought this was interesting that it says if you're angry with your brother without a cause. Well, we know from other scriptures like Matthew 18, Jesus said if your brother sins, go to him one-on-one, take other brothers with him, take him to the body. If he doesn't repent, put him out. So if you have a cause, it's absolutely okay to be angry, you have issue with a brother. So I think it's interesting. A lot of people would say, oh, you should never have an issue with a brother, or it could be sister to sister, whatever. But Jesus says, without a cause. And so this means there's times when in the fellowship of true saints where we may have issues or be angry with a brother. We've seen that, haven't we, Sister Amen?
Oh, yeah. Over the years, yes.
Yeah, we've seen that. And Paul said in Ephesians 4:26, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." So I just wanted to throw that out there. Anger can be justified against a brother. Just make sure it's righteous and it's a right judgment and why you're doing it. So keep that in mind, because like things about like abortion, you can get righteously angry. I mean, Jesus made a whip and he was angry and upset at the temple changing, the money changing. So it's okay for us to have zeal and to be angry about things. Let's just make sure we're doing it righteously and just. If you have an issue with a brother or sister, go to them, make sure it's a biblical one. Make sure they really are in sin and it's not just a misunderstanding. Any right. thoughts on that, Sister Amen?
Yeah, I would probably add for sisters and stuff to be ready to let that anger go when the time comes that it needs to be let
right.
go. You know, if there was repentance or even if there was pain left over from it and there's forgiveness, you got to be able to let that go and move on, because we want to do unto others as they would have done to us.
Yeah, once it's been remedied.
Yeah.
Because Jesus does talk about, Jesus does talk about if your brother's in sin and you go to him and he repents, mm-hmm. you've gained your brother.
Yeah.
If he doesn't, he's put out. And I think that reminds me of when Jesus told the disciples to go and preach, and he said, any house that receives you, let your peace rest upon it. Mm-hmm. What that basically means, I believe, is just, I should do a whole teaching on that. It basically just means that you could be in agreement with them, that you don't have to be in strife against them, and you can have peace with them. But if they reject you, let not your peace settle on them. It's kind of like not saying Godspeed to a false teacher.
Yeah.
And so a brother who repents, our peace settles upon him and everything's good. If he doesn't repent, our peace can't settle on him. So Jesus gives us that option. We can be angry with a brother who's in sin and deal with it for the glory of God, for the betterment of the body, but make sure that we do it rightly.
Yeah, and probably sometimes that anger comes from not having repentance and things. You know, you could be angry for the glory of God that a so-called professed believer isn't repenting.
Exactly.
Something like that.
We've seen that, too, where people are blind to their own sin. They go out and point everybody else's sin out. But then when you point out their sin, they're blind to it, and they won't repent of it. And then your peace can't settle with them. You can't have unity with them. So I just wanted to bring that up.
That's a good point.
We see a lot of that in the bodies in the Bible, and you're going to see a lot of that in regular relationships in the brethren, times where your peace can't be upon a person because of sin, and it's okay to be angry about that. Just don't let your anger cause you to sin. Don't do anything stupid. Don't do anything out of order. Be angry about abortion. I wouldn't tell you to go start shooting abortionists and blowing up abortion clinics. Make sure that your anger is a righteous anger.
Yeah, not in the flesh, yeah, but in not the spirit. Flesh. Yeah. Yeah, good one.
Sister Amin, do you remember a witnessing experience we had? We have so many. Praise God.
Yeah, I know.
I was at a cash register, and there was a young man. He looked like he was 14 to me. He probably was 18. And he checked us out, got our stuff ready.
Yep.
And I said, here you go. Your day is almost over. He said, yeah, I got to go get cards. My day is almost over. I said, here's some good news for you. He grabbed the card, didn't even look at it, didn't read it. I think he got the idea that we were religious folks. And he said, I'm good to go. I got it all. You remember that?
Yeah, did you notice something? He was not smiling at all.
Nope.
Until you gave him the card, and then he smiled and said that.
Yep. He was rather mean-spirited and not very nice, and I thought, should I witness to him? He looks like he's really crabby, and I thought, why not? And I witnessed to him, and right then, Sister Amin's right, right when I handed him the card, he smiled, looked at me, and said, I'm good to go. I'm fine.
I got it.
It made me start thinking about people that we see it all the time in the streets. We've talked about this. I got Jesus. It's like arrogance. It's like, I got him. He's a one-and-done savior. He's a genie in a bottle. He's salvation in a vending machine. Just put my dollar in and boop, I got it guaranteed. And it's really sad. I want to warn people. You know people like this. You're going to meet people like this. They treat salvation like a get-out-of-hell card. Like I used to play the game Monopoly when I was a kid, when I was a pagan. Get-out-of-hell card, get-out-of-jail card.
Yep.
They treat Jesus like a get-out-of-hell card. I got him. He's in my wallet. I'll pull him out whenever I need him. And they don't. Here's what's really sad. They don't have the fruit of being born of him. They don't desire to talk about his salvation. They don't desire to proclaim it to anyone else or even talk about it. They don't want to give God glory for what the Savior's done. All they do is say, I got it, I'm good to go, and that's all they care about. And it reminds me of James saying, hey, if a man has worldly goods and he says to his brother, I hope everything works out good for you, but he's got it, his faith is like in vain.
Right.
It's like these people, I got salvation, I'm good to go. Well, what about me? Maybe I need it. Maybe I got it wrong.
Yeah.
What about all these other people? Nope, nope, I got it. I'm good to go. And so I just wanted to share that. It shows that they don't have the fruit of being saved in Christ, or the hope of salvation, I should say. Why? Some hireling pastor told them at baptism, raise their hand, say a prayer, they're sealed to go into heaven no matter what. Our master, Messiah, did not say it that way. Luke 13:24. Strive to enter in the straight gate, for many, I say to you, will try to, and they will seek to enter in, and they shall not be able. That word strive, you know what it means? Fight. We're to fight for our salvation.
Yeah, like
Paul
that.
Says with fear and trembling. Peter says, if the righteous are scarcely saved, yet these people treat it like a whim, like, I got it, no problem. And we just talked about righteous anger. I get righteous angry when I hear that. Because I know by their life they're trampling the blood of Jesus, living like the world, saying, I got the Savior in my back pocket whenever I need him.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes me think about when we were on the streets this past weekend, and I was calling out to people as they were going by. A woman said, oh, I already accepted Jesus. I got it. I said, as she kept walking, I said, but is he going to accept you?
Yeah.
And she stopped and looked back at me, and then she just kept going.
And that's the truth. The Bible says we're accepted of God because of what Christ had done. No Bible verse says we accept Jesus.
Right.
And so they're going to be amazed and surprised on Judgment Day. I think many of them are going to be turned away and say, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity, because they have a false Savior that they're not living for, obeying, striving for. They have a false Savior that's just going to get them out of hell whenever they need it, and it just isn't going to work. The Scriptures don't work that way.
Right.
We have to forsake this life because of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, his shed blood, his defeating death for us, and through repentance, losing this life, when we're born from above by the Spirit, guess what? We want to talk about him. We want to share it with other people.
We do.
We want to test our faith and other people's faith. We want to proclaim it, not, I got him, next. And if you say to me, well, they're in busy at work and you got them on at work, they didn't know what to say. Sister Amin, last time I checked, is our email on our gospel card?
No, and I'm sorry, yes, it is.
Our email's on our gospel card.
I'm sorry, our email's on it. And no, I thought you were going to say, have we gotten any emails
no.
yet?
And, how many emails do we get from people going, I couldn't talk to you in line, but
none.
Very few. We get emails from people, but not that many where you'd say, well, they just wouldn't talk to you. They're treating Jesus, they have a false Savior, like they control it when they should be meek and humble. I just did a teaching on that. Lowly, submitted, and striving for the kingdom of God to make it because of what Christ has done.
Right. And I just wanted to add that young man.
Yeah.
He was out in the parking lot with us gathering carts right by us.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, so he saw us.
Could have had an opportunity.
I believe
there
he saw us.
Too,
yeah, he could have said something. Yeah.
Yeah.
So our email's out there. And so I just wanted to bring that up. Hopefully you don't take, if you're listening in, I know the saints we're united to don't look at it that way. I hope that you don't take the Savior that way, that he's just there for you for salvation, because he's so much more. We're to serve him. We're to obey him. We're to be walking the kingdom right now. All of this is fruit that we're ready to go be with him in his eternal kingdom. He's not a get out of hell card.
No,
that's a slander, blasphemy, and that's trampling the blood of Jesus.
Right.
That's called lip service Christianity.
Yep.
Yeah.
But their hearts are far from him.
Yeah, amen, amen. And then today I was doing a Bible study with a brother on the phone, and we were talking about truth. Mm-hmm. Sister Ahmed, what did we come to? What did this saint see about truth?
How very important every aspect of the truth is compared to what he had been taught for most of his life.
Yeah, he came out of the churchianity systems, and now he's striving as a godly man. And what's amazing is the church systems all taught him, yeah, sin is bad. Yeah, false doctrine, we all disagree. But Jesus died to cover all that. You're good to go. Don't worry. You don't have to worry about truth that much. And now as he's studying scripture, he's like, I can't believe truth is everywhere. We're told to cling to the truth. If we miss truth, if we error from the faith, we can lose the hope of salvation.
Yep.
James says it very clearly in chapter 5. So it's pretty interesting to see the truth will bring seekers and people that are seeking the truth. They'll bring it. The Holy Spirit, John 16, he comes to teach us all truth.
Yeah, and he was saying how the truth is showing him, the more truth he sees, the narrower the way is.
Yeah. And the reason is because he's seeing that his own friends and family, his own co-workers, his own ex-religious people don't want the truth. Mm-mm. And the fruit of your life is, if you're of Christ, you want the truth. You're the branch of this awesome vine. You're going to be loaded with his truth. They don't want the truth. They got their own branch and their own vine that's a fake Jesus, a fake religious system. And he's seeing how narrow the path is. And that's what the study of the Word of God does. Study to be approved. So you see God's Word. You see how narrow the path is. So one, you can walk on it and glorify God. Two, you can warn other people. Repent and get on it.
Right.
But if you're deceived and think it's wider than it is, you're not going to help yourself or anyone.
Yeah.
So that was awesome to hear him say that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why we study with people and work to make disciples.
Right.
Sister Ahmed, any other thoughts from you today? Any other scriptures? I have one more thought I wanted to share and a couple more scriptures, but I think you have something else you want to share.
Yeah, I was just thinking about as we were driving up here, and we see them all over the country, these big fields full of solar panels.
Oh, yeah. We saw that one today. Huge.
Yeah. And if you sisters haven't ever seen one of them, it's a big field, usually way out where there's no trees or anything, maybe where they usually have a lot of sun. And the solar panels, how big would you say they average?
Oh, they're probably
like a kitchen
five,
table?
5-6 feet by like 6-8 feet. Yeah, the big ones.
Yeah, so maybe like a
big kitchen table.
Super big farmhouse kitchen
And they move
table.
To track the sun.
I was just going to go there, yeah. And so they put them on these posts. And they're all facing the same direction. And as the sun goes over, they move and it goes all the way. Kind of like sunflowers.
Yep, to collect the light.
Yeah, and so I was thinking about how they're following the sun to get power from it.
They're following the light.
Yeah, and I was thinking how we saints follow the sun.
Yeah.
And we get his power also.
Yeah.
And I was going to read.
Well, wait, you just read in Revelation where there'll be no need of the S-U-N.
Yeah.
And there'll be the S-O-N.
Right, exactly.
He will give us the light.
Yeah, we could be here all day if I was reading scriptures about this. But I just grabbed this one. I just thought that was kind of an interesting correlation.
Yeah.
But anyway, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Yeah.
That's just one form of the power. So we follow hard after him. You know, man strives so hard to construct all these things. And someday they're going to burn. They're not going to be there anymore. What we want to do is construct our lives on a firm foundation, like Brother Kupos was saying.
Yeah.
You know, he was talking about earlier. And so that way, we can keep following Christ on that, and we're not going to falter and fall away and wear out like those solar panels.
Amen.
Who eventually they got to be replaced and fixed and stuff.
Yeah, and that solar panel, that solar power is good while you're on Earth, but it's corruptible. We're following the incorruptible eternal light that will never fade away. It's going to get brighter.
It is, yeah.
It's going to get brighter.
It is,
the darkness is going to come, and when the darkness comes, the tribulation that's coming, when Christ returns, his light is going to be so much brighter because of the darkness.
Oh, yeah.
The contrast is going to be tremendous.
That's an awesome scripture verse.
Yeah. I have one last thought for you. I witnessed today, we're sitting, and we went in a store, and Sister Amon and I were sitting there taking a break, and she went up to go look at something, and right before I walked away, this older lady, probably 70 years old, walks by and saw my walking stick that says Obey Jesus on it, and she stopped, and she said, Obey Jesus, exactly. And I said, really, ma'am? I whipped out a gospel card. There was a bunch of people around, so she was a woman by herself, and I decided to go ahead and witness to her. She wasn't married. I think she's a widower. She said, oh, yeah, Obey Jesus, and we started talking, and she quickly told me the story. I talked to her for 5 minutes, maybe. She said that in her own church, she's upset because for Easter, they didn't have lilies, flowers.
Uh-huh.
And she said, I went to the board, the commission, or the whatever, and she said, they said, well, are those in the Bible? Or are those a man-made tradition that you're expecting? And she said, I said, well, I guess they're a man-made tradition. She said, but then they went off and had Easter eggs and Easter bunnies.
Yep.
And she goes, is that a man-made tradition? And I said, yes, ma'am. I said, Easter's a man-made tradition. So I gave her the gospel card and shared the gospel with her and told her these churches are not telling her the truth. And then I asked her something, and I thought this was pretty interesting. I said, ma'am, can I ask you a question? I said, your church body has sin and false traditions in it, right? She goes, oh, yeah. And I said, probably you do too, right? She said, yeah, because I'm united to it. I said, how many sins did it take Adam and Eve to get thrown out of the garden? She looked at me, she goes, one. Took her like 2 seconds. One. I said, ma'am, how many sins or false traditions will it take you and your church system to displease God and not make it to the kingdom? She looked and she goes, well, I'd have to say one. And she said this, ding, 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 am I right? Like that, like, you know, like at a game show or something. And I said, you're right, ma'am. One sin is going to keep you out. And she kind of looked kind of surprised by that. And I like to tell people that because they think, oh, you know, Jesus took care of all the sin. Oh, no, no. Jesus doesn't take care of sin that you don't repent of. He only calls you out of sin. He doesn't save you while you practice sin. And I wanted to read Genesis 3:13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? There's that King James. What is this that thou hast done? The woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. She does one sin. They only had one law to follow.
Yep.
They couldn't follow it. And God says, ah, don't worry. You're just, you know, you're going to do that all the time. I expected you to be imperfect. He says, what have you done? So I hope this lady that I got the chance to meet today, it was good timing. I hope she goes and looks at that card and tests herself, because it goes back to what we talked about here today. The firm foundation goes back to truth, goes back to following light. Look, we didn't plan it this way, but this is what it is. The foundation, the truth,
right?
The light, and not walking in sin. And as we talked about with that young brother in a Bible study, our faith leads us in a good conscience to follow the truth. If you don't have the truth, you're not in faith and a good conscience. I mean, it all's just tied together. It's like a covenant of a marriage. Husband and wife loving each other, they're not out running around with another person.
Right, exactly.
Otherwise, the covenant's going to be destroyed. So
yeah.
I wanted to share that. Think about one sin. Jesus told the rich young ruler, one thing you lack. So think about one sin in your life, a church body's life, your family's life, and think about the effects of that in eternity. Man fell and was put out of the garden because of one sin. So I hope that kind of makes us all think about it really deep and really hard. Any thoughts on that,
right.
Sister Amon?
No, I think you covered that pretty good.
Yeah. So I think that's all I have to share. I did want to mention I am putting up Philippians 3, verses 1 through 4. That'll be up. We'll put the link of it up there. So I'm going to get that done. And go ahead, Sister Amon.
Well, no, you go ahead and do yours, because I had another thought before we were done.
Oh, no, go ahead. I want you to have your thought. I was going to say, tomorrow's going to be an online work day for us in the local area here before our preach comes up this weekend, so we hope to get some more things poured out, and we'll see what the Lord has for us, but we'll work on those.
Well, you just kind of brought up a little bit of the angle where I was going to go, our preach this weekend.
Yeah.
I was just kind of looking up the headliners or yeah. whatever you want to call them. It's a so-called Christian music
event. Yeah,
it's
a music event.
We've been here before. And so I was kind of looking into some of the people or whatever. One of them is Skillet.
Yeah.
A wicked rock
yeah,
band.
Yeah, wicked heavy metal band called Skillet.
Yeah, yeah. And they claim to be a Christian band. And this is just a real quick thought here. As I was looking them up, looking some of the tours where they might be to see if they might kind of coincide with where we might be.
Yeah.
You know, theirs and some of the other ones, because you never know, you might be able to meet a seeker who goes gets swept away in there.
Yep.
Like, you know, we go to these places to try to reach out to them. And I saw this title of an article. I didn't read it all, but I did see some, and I popped through just to see the points here. The title was 8 Bands That You Didn't Know Were Christian. I mean, it kind of says it right in the title, and I was like, well, I'm kind of curious. I wanted to get back to what I was doing, you know, researching some just to see. And I went through, and I got to tell you, sisters, this is wicked. I saw a few of the titles in there. I was like, wow. I used to listen to those when I was in my dark time, and I wanted to get really pumped up and angry.
You know,
that da-da-da-doon, da-da-da-doon, all that stuff they do.
It's demonic.
I had no clue they were so-called Christian, but yeah, that title I thought was pretty ironic.
Yeah, well, that nasty man, Alice Cooper, is walking around. I remember as a kid, he's an old man, he's like 70 years old. He's still out there making music. I remember as a kid, my brother and them used to play his albums. He's like a demonic man.
Oh, yeah?
He's so-called has become a Christian, but he's still doing all the demonic things. In fact, I have a testing of Greg Laurie. Go look up my testing of Greg Laurie on doparish.com. Has a picture of Alice Cooper on stage, and they pretend that his head is cut off, and the lady carries his head around, and she's kissing it as it's dripping with blood. And Alice Cooper claims to be a follower of Jesus. I just had a strange thought. That would be like if I confessed to all of our people that follow us or read Don't Perish that I'm really a Muslim. They'd say, oh my, we didn't know you were a Muslim, Brother Tupos. I'd go, yeah, how good of a Muslim am I? You don't know I'm a Muslim.
Right, exactly. Like 8 bands that you didn't know were Christian. I gotta say, I was really shocked when I saw a couple. I was like, oh, yeah. Wow, that's insane.
And that goes
back. They sounded demonic when I was listening to them.
That goes back to that easy believism we're talking about, that they've just come to Jesus and he's in their back pocket. They live their life the way they want, but they have faith in him now, so they're going to go to heaven no matter what.
And these kind of people, with all these so-called Christian bands and stuff, they are part of helping keep people from getting a firm foundation.
Yes.
Like we're talking about. It's all these distractions.
Yep. Distractions, lies.
So-called Christian music, so-called Christian movies, so-called Christian TV, so-called Christian books.
Satan's at work. He's busy. He's very, very good at what he does.
Be very careful about all that.
Yeah. Yeah. Test all things, as we were talking about today.
Yeah.
Test all things to the Holy Scriptures. And so, I think that's pretty much, I think, is anything else, Sister Drummond?
Yeah. I just have the verse to share for the sisters at the end.
Go for it.
Okay. I always like to read something at the end here. 2 Peter 3:17-18. And I just picked this one because it's good. Well, it's all good, but anyway. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, now and forever. Amen.
Yeah,
I love that.
I love that. Hold fast, steadfastness. That's that endurance we have to have. It's not guaranteed. It's not a done deal. We have the hope of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a get-out-of-hell card. He's a glorious Savior that we're following and obeying and walking in his commandments.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God.
Awesome. I love that verse. I want to leave you with one last verse. We talked about truth a lot. I want to encourage all of you saints, seekers, if you're listening, you need to repent and get in the truth. Otherwise, you're going to suffer the wrath of God. But all you saints that are born of God, seek the truth. Ready? This is a verse that our whole ministry is built on. John 4:23-24. But the hour cometh and is now when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Two times he says it. Spirit and truth. So I want you to seek the truth, saints. Trust in him and walk with all your fervor, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength to seek the kingdom of God. We are here to help you anytime. Amen. Let us know how we can do that. We hope these edification audios help you. We hope what we add to our website, our street preaching, our teachings help you. That's all we want to do. We want to send those pings out into the internet.
Right.
And we're out in the world every day telling people, but we want to send those pings on the internet while we can use the internet for God's glory. And so go out there and strive for the kingdom.
Amen. And we're here to help you and encourage you and cheer you on and share our zeal and our joy.
Amen. Amen. We love you all. Till next time, go out and have a glorious day.
May God be praised.
Amen, Sister Emma.